Welcome to the Think Kingdom Church podcast. I'm Marcus Looney, the Creative Arts Director here at Think Kingdom Church. Welcome to week 6 of the series Rock the Bells. Let's go ahead and jump in and see what God's Word has for us with part 2 of the Rock the Bells with resident pastor Ramon Bellagamba.
So last week, it was a pretty challenging message. Challenging not only for us as a congregation, but challenging for me as well. As so many times we don't remember or don't know about our new identity as the sent ones of a holy God. That when we are brought into the new creation, there are many times other aspects of our identity in Christ that we more readily know about and that we identify with. But just as we are holy ones of a triune God, I want us to always remember that we are the sent ones of a holy God as well. And how with holiness, us living unto God and being set apart for Him, we remember that so clearly. And I want us to have that same remembrance of our identity for us to live with sentness. And we have, I think in today's text, Jesus makes it kind of clear for us that the calling to follow Jesus is one where our spiritual journey calls us to live and join Him on mission. In last week's message, I did like a lot of theology of it, and it was a lot to take in. That was one of the reasons that me and Pastor Antoine thought that this habit in the close to our Rock the Bell series, we really had to unpack it in two parts. So today's message is going to be more of a lot of the how-to, the practical that Jesus has shown us. So I know a lot of you may have been last week like, man, where do I start? It was a lot. And we don't want to leave you in the dark of how Jesus wants us to go out into the world and to join what the Holy Spirit is already doing in the world. For the Spirit to breathe on dry bones and bring them to life. We want to be a part of that. We want to be able to celebrate baptisms. What if I told you in 2021, the kingdom had 50 baptisms right there? That would be exciting because we can celebrate what the Lord is doing through us because we are obedient to living how He calls us to live. That should bring excitement. We want to be a church that the community knows us because of what we're for. And also the fact that we're making disciples all over the place. The fact that our groups that we're forming in the fall, that they're reaching people. People that are feeling really broken right now. People that need the love of Jesus. And that we're truly embodying the vision that was set forth. That we're loving like Christ. That we're loving others and connecting them to God. That's our calling, Think Kingdom, to be that family of missionary servants that are leading people to Jesus. But then also, I don't want you to think about this is something that you need to be doing alone. There are going to be times that we're going to be called to lead people to Jesus on our own. But I want y'all to wrap your head around the reality that we are living on mission, sent together. That the call to follow Jesus is to live sent together on mission. That the call to follow Jesus is to live sent together on mission. So before Jesus sent out His disciples, we see in Luke 10, we see that Jesus was showing His disciples clearly three things that I want you to write down. That He was showing His disciples the reality of mission, that He was showing His disciples the strategy of mission, and that he was really bringing home at the end the urgency of mission. So we're going to look at the first move, Jesus speaking about the reality of mission. We see that in verses 1 through 3. So let me give you a little context before Jesus start preaching to his disciples and sending them out. Number one, if you look at the end of Luke 9, you see in verses 57 to 62 that there are three people that Jesus calls to follow him. And what you realize about all three of those people, they didn't just follow him. They hesitated. They pump faked. Like, I got to go bury my father before I come and join you. You're seeing that in our spiritual journey, the call to follow Jesus is a call to total commitment. That Jesus calls us to sacrifice everything, drop it like it's hot, and the fact to just follow him. The reality is that Jesus, in the beginning of this text, when he was actually in verse 1, when it says that he was appointing his disciples, the 72 others, he was making a clear stance. He's making a public declaration that these 72 right here, they all in. They are totally following me and my mission. They wasn't half-hearted. They wasn't double-minded. They said, no, we are following Jesus. And if you've been baptized, you've made that same public declaration. You have identified with Jesus. So you have to join him on mission. Jesus wanted to make that clear. These are my disciples. So this is not even the first time in Luke that he talked about sending out his disciples. Just in the previous chapter, to begin chapter 9, it talks about the sending out of the 12. But in essence, the same thing that connects both of them is the fact that Jesus is Lord, and that means that he has all authority and he has all power. And that is how he is sending us out into the world. He's not sending us out in the world to just be fearful. Jesus is sending us out with his power and his authority. And if we look in verse 2, we hear that the harvest is abundant. In other versions, it says plentiful, but the workers are few. The reality of it is, and if you read through the Gospels, you've heard Jesus say, there are plenty of people that say, Lord, Lord. There are plenty of people that identify and call themselves Christian. But the reality of it is, only a few truly live on mission. And that's what Jesus is making clear to us. There are tons of people that say, I'm walking with Jesus. But if you're walking with Jesus, you're participating in his mission in the world. You're participating in the proclamation of the word of God, the gospel, the good news. But you're also doing this by demonstration of the reality of the kingdom of God that I spoke about last week. But Jesus is also telling us in verse 2 how central prayer is to mission. Like he says, therefore, pray to the Lord of harvest to send out workers into the harvest. I want to give y'all four ways that you need to be praying. So we get into applications out here real quick. The first one from that text I want y'all to take away is that we need to be praying for a prayer of awareness. That we need to be praying for God to reveal to us people who are apart from Jesus. And who people who right now in their hearts, they're seeking everything but God because they know that they need something. Like, we need a prayer of awareness. Secondly, we need a prayer of faith. So when I say faith and we want to have bolder faith, I mean faith in the object of our faith, in Jesus. That we have such great faith in Jesus and what he's already doing out in the world, that's leading us to greater faith, to taking more chances. Next, I want y'all to be praying for a prayer of release. So we need to be praying that the Lord releases more workers into the harvest, that people who haven't said that they have a total commitment to Christ to follow him on mission, that they're released to be following on mission. And I also want that prayer to release to be whatever's going on in your heart, whatever idols that's keeping you from following Jesus every day, 24/7, and following that call to be on mission. I want you to be praying for that release. So if you have an approval idol and you're afraid of how that's going to damage your relationships, you need to be praying for a release from that. What about if you got a comfort idol that you don't want to rock the boat, that you want to just stay comfortable and just being known as a private follower of Jesus? I need you to be praying for a release from that. Because if I don't know if y'all didn't know, right? But the gospel is public truth. Jesus died in time and history. Jesus died before a watching Roman world, right? And Jesus didn't just die. He rose from the grave. And if he rose from the grave, that means something in how we're living our life. Because he rose from that grave. And lastly, I'm going to move on to a prayer of readiness. I want y'all to be praying that y'all ready to answer the call. Like whatever God puts in your way, that you're ready for it. That you're ready to share the word of Christ. That you're ready to help and serve your neighbor, right? That you're ready to bless somebody else that wasn't expecting it. I want you to be ready. But then Jesus also tells us the reality of our mission that it ain't going to be easy. Look at verse 3. Now go. I'm sending you out like a lamb among wolves. For us to live as sent ones on mission together, we have to realize our enemy. That mission is spiritual warfare. You're always going to have people and things and institutions that are going to be against us trying to extend the kingdom of God. Like, Satan doesn't want us to know that he's already defeated, that the gates of hell will not prevail, and that the church will be triumphant. But we also, so we love hearing about the church triumphant, but we also have to realize that because of spiritual warfare, the church also suffers. If our Lord suffered, why do we think we don't have to endure any pain or suffering if we're trying to do his same mission that he's already doing out in the world? So we have to be able to identify with both, the church in victory and the church in suffering. And if we're in spiritual warfare, that connects right with prayer and fasting. That we need to be praying and fasting that people in our family come to faith, that people on our job come to faith through us, that people in our neighborhood come to faith. And the fact is that if we know the reality of mission, we know that if we're going out on mission in this spiritual warfare, it's dangerous, straight up dangerous. And I want to tell you about a profession that we never even think about. You know that Jesus calls us to be fishers of men, right? So the fishermen actually got the second most dangerous job in America. So the fish that we enjoy, that we could go to Harris Teeter, Food Lion, and pick up some fish, the fish that has been caught most times has been caught by a fisherman who is risking his life. So many things can happen, whether it's boat accidents, whether it's a fisherman trying to bring a trap or a net to the boat. He may fall off of the boat. And the thing that's common to a fisherman as well in America, there's not a lot of people that are fishermen. Fishermen are very few. So out of the 10 most dangerous jobs in America, you know which one had the lowest number? Fishermen. You want to know something else about fishermen out of those 10 jobs? It's the lowest paying job. The average fisherman is making less than $30,000 a year. And I just think about that. That's a real striking parallel to us as disciples of Christ. We're on a dangerous mission, risking our lives for the kingdom. We are few in number. We are not receiving even our full reward now, as we'll receive that full reward in heaven. See those parallels? How Jesus connected us to fishermen, and how fishermen are actually seen today and have always been seen in our culture. Jesus is pointing us to the reality that we, if we're following him faithfully, this call of discipleship is hard. This call of discipleship is costly. Are we ready to lay down our lives to further Jesus' mission? That's something that we gotta really think about and ponder. The fact that the reality of our mission isn't lost to Christ. So this goes back to why he has all power and authority. Christ's presence never leaves us. So as we go out in the world daily, he's with us. The Spirit wants to breathe on us. He wants to use us for Christ's glory. And this moves us to our second point that we see Jesus speaking about. Jesus actually gives us the strategy of mission when he sends us out. We see this in verses 4 through 8. Verse 4, it talks about don't carry nothing. Like Jesus literally told his disciples when he sent them out, don't take nothing. Just go out there. Just walk out there with your faith. Just go on ahead. What's that telling us? If he's telling his disciples that, does that make us any different? What should we be relying on when we go out on mission? Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's it. Don't rely on any gimmicks. You ain't got the most clever words that's going to say, make somebody come to Jesus. Like, you literally have to rely on Jesus. But not only that, he also helps us find people of peace. So what is a person of peace? What are people of peace? He shows us this in verses 5 through 8. The reality of it is, family, that we are called to find people of peace where we live, where we work, and where we play. Like, God has people of peace all around us. So this is why I was telling y'all to pray for that awareness. Y'all could not be paying, like, we could easily not be paying attention to somebody that the Lord is seeking to save. That this person is wide open. They ready for you to say something about Jesus. And you still like Charles Smith back in the day in the New York Knicks, missing all of those layups. Like, it's there. But we have to have the awareness of it. And I want to give y'all some marks of a person of peace. So I told y'all this is kind of heavy on the application or the praxis of it all, the practical. So these are some things that you should be looking for that mark a person of peace. Look for people that we're blessing, right? We said we're called to bless others. These people actually return the blessing to you. That's usually a person of peace. Person of peace generally even likes to bless you even if you don't bless them. That's a marker of a person of peace. Another mark of a person of peace, they like to hang with you. They know who you are, and they just want to be around you. That usually is an indicator of a person of peace. The fact of it is, we all got persons of peace in our life. And we have to be sensitive to that. But also, I want to continue a little bit more, even if you write down not really figuring it out. What about how we can identify a person of peace? We could think about, who do we have a natural bond or chemistry with, like, that's not in Christ? Who do we just naturally vibe with? That could be a person of peace. What about a person that seems to be leaning into a deeper relationship with you, that just wants to know more about you and talk with you all the time? Somebody that's leaning in, that could be a person of peace. What about somebody that likes to serve with you or serve you? It kind of goes back to that other marker. This is a person of peace. Somebody likes to serve you or serve with you. Somebody else that you could identify, they seem interested in your faith and your lifestyle. They're not put off by the fact that you're a Christian. that they actually ask you questions about your faith and how your faith informs how you live your life. That's often a person of peace. Also, two more. A person of peace, they don't mind connecting you with their social circles. That they put in a good word like, yo, he's good. Like, I want you to connect with him. That's usually indicating a person of peace. And then what about a person who likes to hang around your social circles? So if a person likes to hang around the church and they'll have no problems with it, that's a person of peace. And lastly, a person of peace is someone who often speaks a good word about you, that talks about your character. That's often a person of peace. So all of these verses 5-8, Jesus is breaking it down. What do you hear him talking about? Remember I told you in the book of Luke, eating and drinking, eating and drinking. A person of peace loves to eat and drink with you. These people are the people that you need to be focusing on in your life. I want y'all Think Kingdom to think about, who's my one? Who's one person that I could be praying for to come to Christ and before the end of 2020 or even in this next year? When we've identified these people of peace as Jesus has called us to do, I want y'all to focus on two things. I want y'all to focus on developing spiritual interests with that person. Just talking about the big things of life. Like, don't just be talking about sports all the time, the NBA playoffs or whatever. Don't be talking about just music, like what was going on in that versus battle. Like, I really want y'all to dig in deep with this person. Develop a spiritual interest. And then secondly, I want you to help those people move from unbelief to belief in the gospel in every area of life. That you tell them, that you share with them, there's a Christian take on all of this and how the gospel applies to my marriage, how the gospel applies to my parenting, how the gospel applies to how I deal with my finances, how the gospel applies to how I carry myself at work. Like, you gotta move those people from unbelief to belief in the gospel in every area of life. And this concept of a person of peace is not new to the New Testament. This person of peace actually has a thread in the Old Testament as well. I know if you know your Bibles, you read at least up to Numbers, like, you know about Joshua and Caleb, right? And how they were the only two spies to stay faithful to God, and they were able to report back. But they wouldn't have been able to report back without Rahab. Rahab was the local prostitute in Jericho. And God used her as a person of peace to get the message that Joshua and Caleb needed to bring back. And God used her, and she just asked, like, yo, just remember me. Like, remember me when y'all come for Jericho. When y'all come for Canaan, just remember me. And she actually gave false witness to protect Joshua and Caleb. And this same person of peace wound up becoming a believer later on. And we know that she helped continue the line of the Messiah. She actually became a part of the bloodline of Jesus. She was a person of peace. So I want us to be, like, really remembering the strategy of mission and how we live as sent ones, that we're seeking to find those persons of peace that are already in our lives, or that we're growing in relationship with people and we're determining if they're a person of peace. That's how we build out of our identity that we're sent, that we're living sent, that we're following the strategy that Jesus has given us right here. Like, everything in the Bible is profitable for teaching, right? For reproof, for us to grow more and more to the image of the Son. Let us not miss this right here. And not only has Jesus shown us the strategy of mission, and he's also showed us the reality of mission, but he's shown us the urgency of mission. And we see that in 9-12. So The first, if you look at verse 9, Jesus gives a command right here. This is a command. He says, heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near you. So this wasn't just a command for his disciples then. This is actually a command for us now, because it was in the Greek, it was it's a present tense command. And it may look differently now than when those 72 disciples, but the fact is that we are to be demonstrating the reality of the kingdom of God, and we're supposed to be proclaiming the kingdom of God. And that there are people who don't even realize that they need to be reconciled to God, and that they actually need to be restored. Their human dignity needs to be restored and recovered to God's design. And right now, we have a great cultural moment right now. We probably, in our lifetime, we have the greatest cultural moment to reach people who ain't never thought about God or just ignored God or just denied his existence. Between the pandemics that we got going on, and then we see the how short life truly is with the death of not even people just from the pandemic, with the death of celebrities like Kobe Bryant this year, Chadwick Boseman in the last week or so. We see how short life truly can be. Because most people think that I'm going to live to a long time. They're not thinking about death. Because our culture, we live in the first culture in human history that seeks to try to do nothing with death. We just try to ignore it. Every human culture before us has looked at pain and suffering and how we deal with that. We try to just ignore it. We just try to binge on our different shows and movies. Or we just like to spend time on IG or Snapchat or Facebook. We just try to just not pay attention to the reality of pain, suffering, and death. But this moment we got here in 2020 right now, it's actually cracking the window of people's souls. Some people, it's just a crack that's open that you can reach them now. Some people, that window full open. Anything could fly through that window right now. People are searching for answers. And we're not saying nothing. We have to preach the gospel in word and deed. We gotta wake up. People are around us. People, the same people that said, I'm the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. I can do anything. They scared shit. That noise was going on right now in 2020 is deafening. They can't get the blaring out of their ears. They just don't know what to do. They can't put on those noise-canceling headphones and just think that nothing exists right now. Nothing's going on. There's no pain. There's no suffering. This is the time, y'all. This is the time where the Lord could really work. If we are obedient to the call to discipleship, that we're letting people know, as Jesus is telling us in these verses, I'm wiping this dust off my feet. This is a witness against you. You're going to live life through eternity separated from God. And people are walking through life right now, and they don't even know they're separated from God because they're still receiving his everyday common grace. But wait until that life is taken from them. That grace that they enjoy now will only be punishment. And that's what Jesus is telling us. So that's telling us that we need to have urgency, because we don't know when people are going to lose their lives. Now, I can tell y'all a personal testimony of one of my biggest regrets in life. A few years ago, right before I moved to Charlotte in 2013, I had a good friend of mine that passed away. And maybe a couple weeks before his passing, we watched the Mayweather fight with another friend's house. And I don't remember who Mayweather was even fighting. But I drove, and I was able to give him a ride home. It's a brother I spent a lot of time with. And I had no idea that this brother had a heart condition. So I drove, and I thought through my mind many, many a times, like, I need to tell him about Jesus. I need to share the gospel with him. What did I do? I stayed silent. I pump faked. And a couple weeks later, I found out that I missed that moment. That's one of the biggest regrets in my life, and I'm sharing transparently with y'all that pain that I never forget, because a couple of days before I moved to Charlotte, I went to his funeral, and this was a funeral. Jesus' name wasn't mentioned. God's name wasn't mentioned. And it hurt. Because there was another funeral service going on in the funeral home right next door. And you hear them celebrating. You hear the gospel music blaring. And I'm in a service. We just hear Bob Marley playing. It's going to be all right. He's with the ancestors. Them throwing dust in the air and stuff like that. People with crystals. I'm in a completely different space. And it's somebody that I loved and cared for, and I was too afraid to tell him about Jesus. So I know the reality that if I see my friend, it'll be on the other end on that day. And that hurts. And I told myself I never want to be in that position again where I'm afraid to tell my friends that don't know the Lord about Jesus, that I am too scared because it's too risky. I'm only care about myself. And I just think about the people that were on that boat, the Titanic. And this will blow your mind, how there were two different sets of people who could have saved 1,500 people from dying. How three messages have been sent to watch out for the icebergs. Because everything looked all right, the folks taking the messages never passed it on. They never sent the warning out to the people who needed to hear. Never sent it to the captain. And as a result, over 1,500 people lost their lives. The folks who knew kept quiet. And another tragedy of the Titanic was that the lifeboats, designed to carry people away from a sinking ship, those were only half full. People who made it in safety in the lifeboats, they didn't want to turn around to go pick up people who were dying. They didn't want to risk picking up panicking people who would flip over the boat. So the people who were saved and safe just kept on going. 1,500 people didn't have to die. But they did. Sharing the gospel has risk. Has risk for us. Risk of rejection. Risk of being made fun of. Risk of being called holier than thou. Risk of being called reverend. The risk of being avoided. The risk of being asked questions you don't know the answer to. These are all valid risks that we could be scared of and that we could be fearful of. But Christ is not calling us to that. Yes, there are risks. But when someone is dying, and then you know that they're going to live life apart from God through eternity and punishment, offering that gift of salvation is worth all the risk. I don't want y'all to have that same testimony I just told y'all about. I want y'all to live life faithful to Christ. And for us to live faithful to Christ is faithful for us to live sent together on mission with Him. The reason why we don't do more evangelism often is we've lost our concern for the lost. And most people in our America, they lost. They're like the little boy at Disney World who's enjoying Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck and The Incredibles. He's enjoying Magic Mountain and all the other roller coasters. He's having a marvelous time. And in the midst of all of this, he gets separated from his parents. And when he got separated from his parents, that kid didn't even know he was lost. And he was just because he was having so much fun on the rides. Y'all, Satan has constructed this world order to give you enough distractions. So people don't know that they're lost in this spiritual Disney world. And we got a world full of people who don't know that the fun in this world, the fun that the world is offering us, the movies, the parties, the clubs, the drink, the social relationships, the money, the drugs, the job, all of it is a satanic camouflage to keep them from realizing that you are separated from God. Humanity spends so much time having fun that they don't know that they are lost. However, the parents of this particular child were looking for him. They knew he was lost at Disney World. They went to an officer and told security that they couldn't find their child. The security man led the parents to that lost child who didn't even know he was lost. Then, Kingdom Family, I want to tell you, God loves and wants to find lost people. We are those security guards to bring lost people into contact with the one true and living God who just wants to regain fellowship with them. That's our task and mission. Living together, sent together, to be those ones that God chooses to deliver that message. So we are closing this series, Rock the Bells. We got work to do. We have our purpose. We know that we have a sending God. In Think Kingdom, he's sending us to your neighbor's living room, to that water cooler conversation, to that other parent on the PTFA. He's sending us to bless others. He's sending us to eat with others. He's telling us to listen to the Holy Spirit, to be aware. He's telling us, like we did today, learn from Jesus. He's calling us to live sent, because that's our identity. And before I leave y'all, I want to leave y'all with our last homework assignment. First things first, I want y'all to pray. I want y'all to pray with those suggestions I gave y'all earlier in the message, but I want y'all to pray. Secondly, I want y'all to identify at least one person where you live, where you work, or where you play as your person of peace. We want to find who's that one, and I want you to pray for them. Pray with them. I want you to bless them in any way. I want you to eat with them. I want you to point them in the way of Jesus. Say, hey, I got this great book that I think that you got this longing for justice. I got this great book I can put in your hands. In addition to the Bible. But the point being, I want us to be living with gospel intentionality. Because the call to follow Christ is a call to discipleship and mission. And we have to be doing that. And I want us to rock the bells because we are the sent ones of God in a fallen world that's cursed and doesn't even know it. Let us be those people that are obedient to Christ. Let us pray. Father, this world and everything in it is created for your glory. And we are your new creation that have been brought from death to life. As you brought us back to our original design, that you want us to glorify you and enjoy you forever. And this series is not just a one-off sermon series, but it is our prayer that this becomes a mindset change. This becomes the culture of our lives, that we are living as sent people with these missional habits that we've been talking about. That we are always rocking the bells. That 3 months from now, I see somebody's social media status, they put in, rock the bells, think kingdom. Like, this ain't just something that stops. But I pray that in the coming days and weeks and months, as we go prayerfully out of this pandemic especially, that we're living as the sent ones of God. That we know that this is our true identity, part of our identity in Christ. That we're ready to give it all for Christ. That we're forsaking all of the idols, all of the baggage. That great illustration Pastor Antoine showed us the other week, just picking up that baggage, we just throwing it off. And that we're ready to be used as instruments of redemption. That we are learn how to be agents of the kingdom of God, alerting people to reconciliation with God. That we are pointing them to the justice of God. That we are pointing them to the mercy of God. That we are pointing them to the beauty of Christ and all his loveliness. And that we're pointing people to restoration. How you could be made whole. You don't gotta suffer, but you can find peace and shalom in Christ. Lead them to that wellspring of life. Lead them to Jesus. That's what we're calling for. That's what we're crying out for. Until we go home, until our Lord returns. Jesus is Lord of all. And that means something for everyone in this life. Let us be a church that knows that they are sent by a holy God to be salt and light in a dark and fallen world. We pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord, in his holy name. Amen.
And that was Resident Pastor Ramon with the S to be sent. He helped us understand the reality of mission, the strategy of mission, and the urgency of mission. If you're blessed by anything you hear on this podcast and you feel led to give, feel free to text the word GIVE to 704-741-3705. And that will wrap up the amazing Rock the Bell series. You can hear this full series and more right here on the Think Kingdom Church podcast.